Medical science is learning a great deal about the human heart. It's almost endless, and it's amazing what doctors and scientists can do today. If you have a heart issue, knowledge is increasing more and more all the time. From the Texas Heart Institute website, it tells us the following about the human heart. It says that it's about 7 to 15 ounces in weight. It's about the size of your fist. If you make a fist, that's about the size of your heart. And for a person who lives a long life, your heart will beat 3.5 billion times. It pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood every day. So at about $2.15 a gallon, that ends up being about $4,000 worth of good old life that our hearts produce for us each and every day. I thank God for the way He has created us and made us. And there's a lot to be said for having a good and healthy heart. LDL, HDL, the things that they can test for, our blood pressure, resting heart rate, blockages, stents, bypass, transplants, on and on I could go about the amazing medical technology that's happening with regard to our hearts. The Bible uses the word heart or hearts or hard-hearted or some kind of variation thereof over 1,000 times. But only a handful of them speak of that organ that's inside our chest and surrounded by ribs in order to protect it. Only a handful of times does the Bible talk about that heart. God's very interested in your heart today. Oh, He's interested in your health. He's interested in you taking good care of your heart, that organ that's in your chest. But He's extremely interested in the other heart that the Bible speaks of so very much. I want us to spend some time today looking at scriptures and honing in on exactly what the heart is. 1,000 references is a pretty good bit, and we need to capture that. And I want to challenge you to go to your website that helps you with that and click on number of times at the Bible and just read all the verses pertaining to the heart. And it's not that organ that keeps us alive. I read about a man this week. Perhaps you saw it as well. His street name was Level. Level Martinez. He grew up in Nicaragua, somehow made it to America. He tells a story about his life and how that his mother was very much into pagan worship, and she offered a blood sacrifice over her son, dripping blood on his body and giving incantations of some kind, and began to pronounce things satanically and demonically over him. Well, it worked quite well. Level came to America and got involved in the Latin Syndicate, a gangbanger, the worst of the worst. He's killed people. He's almost gotten killed himself on several occasions. A vicious, tough person. It's a wonder that he's even alive today. Somehow along the way, he had a daughter. His wife, girlfriend had a daughter, and he knew that because he had a child, he had to change his life some kind of way. So he started to fight with bare knuckles in these competitions and somehow make some money, thinking that that would somehow help him. For some reason, his mother got out of prison and met someone who shared the Lord Jesus with her. And this woman, who was deeply depraved and in a dark life, was saved. Her heart was transformed. It was changed. And she ultimately shared with her son, Level Martinez, and he became a follower of Jesus himself. Today, he is preaching on some street in the inner city to his fellow gang members, sharing the Lord with him. I saw a video of him baptizing them in the ocean. One after the other, tough guys with tattoos all over their body. God is in the business of transforming hearts. Amen? I hope it's okay with you that gangbangers can be saved. That's the grace of God. And I have an announcement to make. We're no better than they are. We're no better. If your mother had dripped blood on your body and cursed your life in some kind of way, there's no telling where we would be. We are here by the grace of God. And I'm so thankful that when Jesus crossed the paths of people during his life here, he spoke more often about their hearts. When the Pharisees showed up, they gathered around the room to watch him do some miracle in order to catch him and to trap him and to ultimately destroy him. And the Bible says over and over again, he knew what was in their heart. He knew, he could tell, he could perceive. He knew what Nicodemus was all about. He knew what the rich young ruler's heart was all about. That's why he went right to the core of the issue and was able to penetrate his heart. Not that organ, but the innermost being. What is the heart in the Bible? What does it refer to? It refers to the center of hidden emotional, intellectual, and moral activity. The Bible says so much about the heart. Let's take a look at them. First of all, we all need to know. I'm a pretty good guy, Brother Jerry. I go to church and I'm a good citizen. I vote. I'm nice to my neighbors. I understand all that. And we compare ourselves to others, but the scripture says in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The heart is mysterious. And the next verse says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward the man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. The heart that we're talking about today is a mysterious thing. It's that core of us. It is our center. It is who we are when we're by ourselves. It is who we are when we're in a different town. We're who we are when no one is watching, in our thought life, in our emotional life. In essence, it's kind of the real us, our heart. So how's your heart today? Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. Is your heart pure today? Well, it's difficult to be able to describe that. It's difficult for me as a pastor to say my heart's completely pure, because I spent some time with the deacons this morning, and it's kind of rough to I'm just kidding, guys. I love you guys. We have a great group of deacons, and I'm thankful for them, but they do pick a lot. The human heart, your heart, is important to the Lord Jesus. How's it today? I'm not talking about your LDL and your cholesterol and all that. That core of who you are, your thought life, attitude towards things. A couple of weeks ago, I preached about giving. That should have been the most positive message in the whole universe about giving, but we tend to tense up about certain things, and we get aggravated because certain things happen. And usually it's because somebody put a finger on a nerve in our heart. Are we a giving people? Are we a sharing people? Are we a caring people? Our deacons reminded us this morning in a prayer meeting that all of us need to be especially alert to those around us during this time of the year, those who need a special touch, those who need a special hand of encouragement, those who might need a financial blessing. Be on the alert. Will you do that? Tag your it today. I want to give you that assignment. Be alert to people in the store. Be alert to people where you shop or at school, wherever you work. Be alert to their countenance. You can look at their faces and tell there's something wrong with their heart. And they need Jesus most of all, but they may need encouragement. They may need something from you, a word from you. Give them your focused attention and share the Lord with them. Share joy with them and be that blessing that you need to be. We often say, we need to give our heart to the Lord. And I understand there are parts of Scripture that talk about that. Lord, we just need to give our hearts to you. And God basically says, I don't want your heart. I don't want that one. I want to give you a new heart. The Bible says that so very clearly. He says, maybe we should say, God, I give you my heart, but no, you take my heart and make it something new. God is chasing you. He will come after you, and he wants to give you that new heart. You need a heart transplant. Some of us do. A transplant, a new heart. You see, your thinking is not clear. If you don't know Jesus today as your Savior, there's something wrong with your heart. And the Bible says it's deceitful. It's beyond cure. Well, I'm a pretty good guy, Brother Jerry, but there's still that dark place. And God says, I want to take care of that. I want to fix that. And the only way to do it is to give you a new heart. Do you need a new heart today? If you do, be open to that. Open your heart. Open your life. Open your core, the center of who you are, to the fact that Jesus can come into your life, give you a new heart, a new perspective, a new vision. Level Martinez was transformed from what he was to a preacher of the gospel in the most difficult place to preach in the world. God can do that for you. He longs to do that for you, but you must be willing. See, but if your heart is darkened, if you have the mindset, you know, I'd rather call my own shots. I'd rather live my own life. I'd rather make my own decisions. Those Christians, they pray, they ask God to do things. You know, I want to live my own life and do things my way. If that is your heartbeat, if that is your heart today, you will not find God, and he will not find you. He's looking for you. He is searching for you. So I'm saying open your heart, that real you, that Christ may come in, especially at this time of the year, and make a great difference in your life. You know, many times we hear today politically and in our world, and we Christians cry out sometimes, we need to put God's word on a wall. We need to carve the marble and the granite and stick it on a wall somewhere. I kind of wish we'd forget about all that. God is interested in carving his word and his law on your heart and in your home rather than on some wall somewhere. Give him the permission to come in to just brand your heart, to sear it with his law and his love and his grace. And God will bless us in a special way. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, he will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. The Bible has so much to say about the heart that if you're fearful in the world today, then God needs to do a work in your heart. He is not the author of fear. Fear comes from our own bad heart, our own dark heart. So all of these emotions of anxiety and fear come from being afraid of what man can do, what circumstances can do, what the stock market can do, what our retirement will do. We want to hold on and cling to that security. And some of that's okay, the planning. But if that becomes our God and our one goal, then there's something wrong with our heart. Proverbs chapter 4, above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your heart look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. Good word from God to all of us, and certainly to young men he's speaking to there. And when it says, don't look to the left and to the right, listen, you go to the grocery store lately? You go to the other stores lately, you know, the magazines that are there, the billboards that you see, you open anything in the doctor's office. Listen, guys, be careful. What we allow to go into the eye gate will have an impact on our heart. And it's everywhere. That's why he says, don't look to the left, just look straight ahead, left or right. Keep your focus on that which will preserve a pure heart. And it is a battle today. With the internet, with television, with DVDs, and everything else that's out there, guard your heart. Ladies, the same. Whatever struggles you may have, God is out to destroy. I mean, the enemy is out to destroy our heart, and we must be careful. Perverse means corrupt or improper. It's wrong-headed, and that's what the enemy wants to do to us in this life. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Again, we're not talking about that organ within our chest cavity. We're talking about the core of who we are and the core of who God is. So how's your heart today? How's your heart? You got some things that you got to deal with. The psalmist said, Lord, search my heart. Just open up my life to him and shine that bright light in there. Look in every corner. And if you see something in there that's displeasing, my attitude, the things I say, my spirit, my fearfulness, my anxiety, whatever it may be, just look at it really close and create within me a clean heart, one that will love you, one that will serve you, one that will live joyfully and boldly and confidently in this life. That is the cry of my own heart at this time in my life, to make a difference for the glory of God and to finish well. May it be true for you as well. Your new pastor is coming, and he has so much energy and passion, and just get ready. But get your hearts ready. Get your heart ready. Make sure that you're focused on that which is the kingdom of God, not things that are on the earth. You remember Pharaoh in Exodus 7:13. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard and would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Do you have an unyielding heart? You're just kind of just folding your arms and just saying, you know, I'm in church today and it's okay, but I'm not gonna change. This is the way I am. I'm stuck. Listen, there's so much to life that God wants us to enjoy. He talked about an abundant life. Is that what you're living? Is it full of joy and peace? I'm not talking about everything perfect, but in the midst of trouble, and that's the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on what happens. If your football team wins today, you're happy. If they lose, you're sad. Happiness depends on what happens. But joy can be present with Paul and Silas in a dark dungeon with backs emaciated and bleeding, and singing songs of praise to him. Joy comes in the midst of difficult things in life. And it all has to do with our heart and where it is in the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 32 says, he said to them, take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long on the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. I love that line. They are not just idle words. What I'm sharing with you today is not, it's not just a sermon. It's not just something you do every Sunday. These words are life. They are life-giving. They're not my words. They're God's words. And you need to be able to open your own heart and life and not be like Pharaoh, unyielding and closed to whatever God has for you in your life. Judges 5 says, the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley in the districts of Reuben. There was much searching of heart. I love that. And in verse 16, why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Maybe that's what I'm asking you to do today. Just search your heart. Take a good look. If you're not even willing to look and examine what you do with your time, what you do with your money, what you do with your energy, with the air that you breathe and the food that you take into your body for energy, what are you doing? What activities are you engaged in? What do you love? What do you worship? Show me your checkbook, and I'll show you what you worship. Show it to me. For where the treasure is, there will the heart be also. Where you put your treasure, that's where your heart is going. And so God, help us to make choices, strong and clear choices as to what we do with what God has given us in this world. Isaiah 10:9 says, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. God is in the business and has always been in the business of changing hearts, of transforming hearts, of taking hearts and making them new. If they are hardened, He will make them soft and supple and sensitive. He can do that for you. But if you're unyielding and strong and resistant, the Holy Spirit of God is a gentleman. He will not force His way into your life. He will not force His way to make you do anything. Oh, but if you leave Him just a little bit of opening. I've heard people give testimonies of a hardened and dark and sinful and wayward life. And in a moment in a hotel with a Gideon Bible, they open it up and say, God, I don't understand this. And they close it up and say, God, if you're real, I want to know about you. Boom. They left a little opening. If you're real, that gets God's attention. And He says, I want to tell you I'm real. Just a little opening of your heart to live a new kind of life, a bold and aggressive and confident life in the kingdom, kind of like what Level Martinez is living today. He's radical for God. He's radical for God. Isaiah 14:6, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead, I am with you, heart and soul. Wow. Is that kind of halfway and half? No. I'm with you, Jonathan. I'm with you, heart and soul and body and everything else. I am with you fully. That's what the Lord expects of us. That's what being a disciple means. Being a follower of Jesus is that we're with Him, heart and soul, fully, completely, ready, available to love Him and serve Him with all of our heart. 1 Samuel 17 says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. When David showed up, when Goliath was strutting and showing his strength and his power and his size and his might, the armies of Israel were cowering and afraid and they had lost heart. Here comes David with a strong heart. A courageous heart, a bold heart, a willing heart. And he said, you come at me with a sword and a spear, that's nothing. Swords and spears are nothing. I come at you, Goliath, in the name of the Lord our God. And you can live that kind of life, boldly, confidently, serving Him with power and authority in your life. And in your heart. When Christians lose heart, we become weak. We become frail. Churches can become weak and frail when we lose heart. So ask God today, fill my heart with your love and your grace and your power, that you can stand a little taller, a little straighter, knowing that you're not walking in your own strength, but you're walking in His power and in His authority in this life. That's what He wants for all of us. 2 Chronicles 34:27. Because your heart was responsive and humbled yourself before God when you heard what He spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. What a good word for God's people today. I feel sometimes that we're full of our pride. We're full of what we have, these beautiful buildings and comfortable pews to sit in, when so many all across the world are meeting today under trees and on hard benches in buildings with leaky roofs, and they're serving God and they're praying. They're meeting in exile. They're meeting in quiet places so that they won't be discovered and be arrested or punished or sent to some gulag somewhere. We as God's people are so proud of being in this country and what we have and what we own. May God humble us. It says, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself, therefore, before God. Sometime today, just walk away from the TV and get off by yourself and humble yourself before God. Just fall to your knees if you can. Fall on your face, on your bed, if you'd like to do that, and just cry out to Him in absolute, total humility. He will do something for your heart when we humble ourselves before Him. See, He wants to keep creating a pure heart, a good heart, a strong heart, a stout heart. Our hearts may weaken. I'm a member of the Stent Club. Who's a member of the Stent Club? Okay? Yeah. These hearts are going to weaken, and they're going to have difficulty and problems at some point, probably. But that's not the heart I'm talking about. I really believe that at this time in my life, my heart is stronger than ever. It's more passionate about what I'm to do in this life with whatever's left. I'm more passionate. Look, do you know that, you know you're paying me to do this? You know that, don't you? No, you're not. You're not paying me to do this. You're enabling me to do this by giving me some money to drive over here and all that. You don't pay me to do this. This is what I'm called to do. It's what Tommy Kuiker is called to do. And we're going to do this. We're going to do it with passion and fire. And it's there's more joy in that than any amount of money in the world. It's about the kingdom. It's about people. It's about being a part of God's work in the world today. And so my question to you is, are you ready? Or are you bored? Are you ready to go to have lunch? I mean, what, you know, I don't know what else to do to prompt you, to challenge you, to say, get to the next level. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Really? New heights? A new level? God showing you something else about, you see, there's new heights to be gained every day as we walk with Him. But if we're kind of just rocking along and little down, little up, but I'm respectable, Brother Jerry. My friends like me. Everything's good. Not good enough. Not good enough. No, we're to give our lives away for the glory and praise of God. Job 38:36 says, who endowed the heart with wisdom and who gave understanding to the mind? Who gives you wisdom? Who gives you a heart of wisdom and understanding? It is the Lord our God. If we're open, if we're willing. And I pray today, and I've already prayed, that God would touch the hearts of everyone in here and make you more willing to love Him and to serve Him with all of your heart in the days to come. God is greatly interested in your heart. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your word, for its power to make a true difference in our hearts and in our lives. You are the one who search the hearts of all people. You're searching the hearts of everyone in here today. And you know and you see everything. Every corner. Every dark place. So, Father, today we give you our hearts. We pray that you'll give us a new one, that you'll give us a transplant. Lord, for those who are not saved today, I pray that you would create with them a heart like Level Martinez, to be transformed, to be changed by the power of your Spirit. Father, do that work today. I pray that you would do that work today. And if we're Christians and we're just kind of walking along, Father, help us to know there's another level, there's another place, there's another place of love and service and commitment, a new boldness, a new enthusiasm, a new excitement in the kingdom of God. God, make it so today for East Leesville Baptist Church, that this community, that 30, 40, 50 miles from here in any direction, they will know, Father, that you're at work in these people. And that aroma, that sweet-smelling aroma of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus will spread and overflow from this place, that your kingdom would increase and that you'd be glorified. Thank you, Father, for creating within us as your people a heart for you. May it increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed during this invitation time. Say something to God, will you? If you're not a Christian, give him an opening. Just give him an opening and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but if you're real, I want you to come into my heart, come into my life, and save me, make me new. Christian, do you need a new level, a new commitment? Does he have all of your heart? Give it to him right now during this invitation time.